Welcome to Aim Higher, a show designed to help us realize the leadership potential inside of all of us. I'm Skip Pritchard, CEO, author, blogger, student of success, and your host. We all want individuals and teams to succeed. That's kind of a given. But many leaders don't think about one of the most important aspects of growing your team, and that is through exceptional employee feedback. Feedback is critical to any team's success. And of course, that is not a theory. It's proven. We've seen it over and over. But we've also seen it in the research. According to a study published in the Harvard Business Review, companies that implement regular employee feedback have turnover rates that are 14.9% lower than for employees who have no feedback. And Gallup's research also highlights that managers who receive feedback on their strengths show 8.9% greater profitability. So it really, really matters. Feedback acts as a mirror. It reflects the current state of affairs. It reflects your strengths and weaknesses or areas to improve. And it's not only about pointing out what's wrong, it's about creating a culture, I think, where constructive criticism is valued. Constructive criticism, which we could take apart. It's really a catalyst for personal, for professional and team development. And that's the type of culture that encourages open communication, it strengthens relationships, and that's what builds trust. And the natural progression that stems from this feedback is, and should be, growth. It's about taking all the insights that you hear and turning them into strategies for improvement, whether it's improving yourself, your team, or your business. It's not just individual growth, it's also organizational growth. The Journal of Applied Psychology said that feedback interventions can lead to significant performance improvements, with the most effective feedback being very specific, being challenging, and being focused on a task. But how do leaders create a feedback culture? If you look at the Center for Creative Leadership, I love them, they suggest that leaders should focus on creating a supportive environment that encourages risk-taking and, favorite topic of mine, viewing mistakes as learning opportunities. So this involves moving away from that culture of blame and one towards where feedback is seen as just part of the organization's DNA, just part of the support system. And it should be seen as support and not just as a negative. And so integrating feedback into processes requires deliberate planning and action. I know Adobe shifted to a check-in system, and feedback is given regularly, more in informal settings, more than in annual reviews, and other companies have done similar things. That led to a 30% reduction in voluntary turnover. So we have seen, even in Deloitte, that they have a study that said frequent feedback practices are 12 times more likely to report strong business results. So adopting frequent feedback practices is very important. All of this is to foster a culture of feedback and growth. It's not a one-time thing. Some companies think, oh, it's a one-time thing. It's a continuous process of engagement, of reflection, and of action. And it's about building a place where every piece of feedback should be a stepping stone toward personal and organizational excellence, or at least to deeper conversations with others so that you better understand yourself and your impact. The path of growth is always paved with insights gleaned from all of this feedback. So to talk about feedback and what works, we have people that we've seen in here before, but it's been a little while. Tammy Spade, welcome back to Aim Higher.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Tell us about you for those who don't know you.
Well, I love working with people. I love developing people. I love messaging to people. Those are probably my passions.
I think you forgot your main passion.
Which is?
Aim Higher.
Aim Higher. Well, I mean, that goes without saying.
Helping people aim higher.
Exactly.
And we have Drew Bordes, I think.
Hi, Skip. I don't think they've seen me before, though. But yeah, I mean, work would be great without the people.
They don't see
you. I'm kind of the opposite of Tammy. So many ways.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have two opposites talking about feedback, and maybe they'll give feedback to each other, and we will see what happens with this overview and episode. So with that, I want to talk about some things. First, reactions to my opening discussion on feedback. What were your reactions as you heard that? Pick one thing and just rant about it a little.
Well, I love that you said support, because I think we think of feedback as one way, manager giving feedback to an employee, rather than a team maybe giving feedback to each other. I just had a conversation on my way into the studio about a situation that didn't turn out the way that the team would have liked. And it was kind of a cross-functional project. How can we do kind of a post-assessment of this to figure out? And they're going to do it. They don't need me to sit there and say, let me point out places where maybe we could have made a different decision. They're going to get together and just talk about it from a cross-functional standpoint. That's feedback too. We think of feedback as formal. We think of it as one way. But that kind of feedback from peers or from people you're working with, really powerful.
I think the thing that struck me is, and we've talked about this a lot amongst the three of us, is just corporate communication is so difficult. It's impossible to nail and get it perfectly right. And I think one of the things that I love about getting just, whether it's casual feedback, formal feedback in a survey, is just to see, did we get across what we thought we got across? Because it's so in the eye of the beholder sometimes, and we'll walk out of an auditorium and we'll say, boy, that was crystal clear. And
we nailed
somebody
it.
We nailed it. And then somebody will come up to you and say, I can't believe you all are worried about this. And I'm like, we didn't even say that. Why do you think that? And so I think without that feedback loop, I think managers specifically can just miss whether they are getting across to their teams or not.
Really good. And as you're both talking, I'm reflecting and thinking about feedback in this context of not just manager to employee, but cross-functional and other things, Tammy, as you mentioned, but also this feedback comes up. It's feedback for the people that work for you is also a very important loop, so that you have to have trust and openness, and they have to have confidence and skill in saying, I want to give you some feedback as the boss, because it's not just one way. Otherwise, I always tell people with communication, in fact, I just had a conversation about this in another building, communication is not a one-way thing. So when you say, oh, communication wasn't so good, well, actually, well, here are all the ways you were communicated to. There were phone calls. There were videos. There were conference calls. There were meetings. There were emails. There were reports. And you engaged in none of those, but then you say communication is bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was feedback for the person, right? So feedback has to be, you have to be truthful. And I think I put it in a nice way, Tammy.
I'm sure.
It wasn't as blunt as that. Maybe it was actually. But that feedback all around. So how do you, even as a manager, as a leader, encourage that kind of feedback in your team? Anything that you do to do that? I know, Drew, you don't take any feedback, but Tammy, maybe?
It's because my communications are always completely in sync.
Perfect.
Perfect. No, but I think confidence works both ways. I think as the manager, you have to have confidence in yourself also to say, I might get some things I don't want to hear, or that aren't true or aren't fair. And I think the way you instill confidence in your teams to keep the feedback loop going is you don't overreact. You don't, you know, destroy everything walking out of the room when you get one piece of negative feedback, you know, because nobody's going to give it to you ever again if that's how you react. So you've got to be able to show, can I take it? Can I constructively discuss if there was something that is incorrect or something like that, and just deal with it in a mature way?
Yeah, and I mean, understand it.
Right.
Yeah. I think when leaders do it in the context of just work or projects, it works better than if you try to do it in a big formal way. There is a place for 360-degree feedback. I think those are great tools, but those tend to be, you know, more episodic. They're not necessarily happening all the time. And I think if you're meeting with a team or you're meeting with a staff member, you can easily just say, and I often do, is there something I could be doing differently to help get this on the course that we want? Or what support do you need from me? I mean, those are just, you know, basic questions that you would ask, and that's a feedback loop.
Well, how about personally? Do you know of a personal experience where feedback significantly impacted you? What would you think of when I say that?
Oh, I have an image. You took a picture of me once in a meeting and showed it to me and said, Drew, do you realize you're making this facial expression at this person? And I thought, well, I like that. I even like that person.
I think it was me.
No, it wasn't you. But I probably have done it. But I was like, I was horrified. I thought I wasn't even unhappy with what that person was saying. And I looked like they had said the dumbest thing that had ever been heard. And it stuck with me. Now, I'd love to say I fixed that, and I haven't. but I'm aware of it at least, and I've never forgotten it.
For everyone listening, a little context to that is it wasn't just a quick snapshot. You were frozen in that position.
Yeah. I was focused.
Yeah.
I was focused.
And I think it's one of those things, you know, we all know if we're speaking, it's great to be able to watch the video. It may be painful, but watch your own video or listen to it and you'll say, wow, I said what? I did what? Or you'll notice habits or things. And so sometimes a picture is the most powerful way. So I didn't have to say much. Feedback was through a picture because I know you.
Right.
We actually would laugh about it, but also that you would take it in and go, wow, because I knew that's not what you were communicating. But some of the people who don't know you may think, wow, he's really angry at me, or I'm really obviously quite stupid because look at the way he's looking at me.
Right.
Which is, of course,
the opposite of Tammy, because Tammy's face never changes even when people are saying something stupid.
No, she's always smiling and you can never tell. Even our genius audio engineer over there is nodding his head at this.
Total poker face.
Yes, yes.
Perhaps that's my next career. Going on the road, competing.
Taking to Las Vegas. I don't see you there, Tammy.
I don't see me there either. No. I really don't. But I have two great examples, I think. One is a really good one, one not so good. One in my...
Go with the one that's not good.
Yeah, okay, the one that's not good was in my first job, and I won't go through all the circumstances, but there were just a lot of, you know, dysfunctional things happening in the group, and I had confided in a person. Didn't know that person had a special relationship with my boss's boss. And they called me in to say, people say you are negative. And I just was stunned. How do you respond to people say? What people? What are they saying? What are the examples? But I was relatively early in my career and had two lessons I took away from that. One was ask for specificity. Try not to, you know, react emotionally or defensively in the moment. Try to come back with questions if you don't think you ask at the time. And the second was try to be politically sensitive, because I was probably sharing information with someone that I maybe shouldn't have been sharing it with, and that didn't end up so well for me. So that was a good piece of feedback that I never really forgot.
It's better to learn it early too, but it is disappointing.
Yeah.
Where you're like, really? No. Not everybody here is my friend. That's a bummer.
No, that's right.
Well, also that they weaponized the information.
Yes.
And that person did not give you the feedback directly, which would have been constructive if
they
were on your side to say, well, let's talk about that.
Yes,
and
yes.
I know that person and lean into it. So it was a great lesson for you, but also really shows the inability of that person to give feedback.
Yeah.
What was the good example?
Well, the good one, actually, and I'm not saying this because you're the host of our podcast today, but one of the first times you gave me feedback was such a glowing note to me that I'd never received something so kind. And I always think of feedback as, yes, you know, strengths here, but then constructive feedback here. The way that you put the constructive feedback was, our team really needs you too. And it was very positively framed, but it was feedback. We need you to lean in and do this. We need you to help us in this area. I mean, I walked out feeling enthused and not in any way as if I had to fix something.
And I don't remember that, but I do know that we need you to help us in many ways. So that's an easy one, right,
but
Drew?
But
that's
I
could give a list of things to help us with this.
But I bet you did that with everybody.
No, I don't think so.
I can tell you didn't. Hold
on one second. I did mention this. I did in one feedback session with Tammy, I wrote, practically perfect in every way.
He did.
I did.
He absolutely did. I have it documented.
I think the point you bring up about negative versus positive is important, because I think with the positives, we can take those for granted too. And this is something Skip and I have talked about a lot with different, you know, project management skills or things like that, where you may look around the room and you're like, why doesn't everybody else get this the exact same way I get it? And somebody else has to say, because you're the only one that thinks that way and we need you to think that way. So that type of feedback is great too, just for self-awareness of how different people look at the same problem.
Yeah, feedback's really important. I think even if you're facilitating or leading a meeting, a strategy session, any kind of time when you're trying to solve a problem, giving feedback either before or even during in the right way is important. I think about people who, we all have different gifts. And some people's gift is to point out why ideas don't work, why they will fall apart, all the problems that will happen, all the risks associated. And those are good, important points. You cannot ignore them. The question isn't that we don't want that feedback. It's when you want the feedback. So the feedback you have to give to that person is, you know, we really appreciate your skill. You can see this, this, and this, but we don't want you to lean in too early. What we need you to do is hold that back just a little bit so that the team can energetically kind of debate something, get it off the ground, and then come in and burst the balloon. Because then you may find out that you can't, because it is strong enough that they people can say, well, there's a way around that, and we can manage that, et cetera. So as an example, that feedback needs to happen all the time. And it's not just the boss giving that feedback. I think that's what's important, is feedback can happen. You know, I'm on one board, and board member to board member gives feedback. I'm on a few boards, but on this one I'm thinking of, they say, I want to give you this feedback to another board member. You dominate by asking all these questions. You always have a question and a follow-up question and a follow-up. Nobody else can get something in. And we told this person, you know, here's how you're perceived. And his response was, I was trying to show I'm engaged and enthused and interested, you know, all positive. We said, we get that. But you have to be sensitive that it looks like you're trying to be dominating the meeting. And so it was interesting to see that peer-to-peer feedback can be really, really powerful. And I hope to see at the next meeting that he's adjusted.
But that's another thing. It takes confidence, trust, a good team in both ways to be able to just sit down and have that dialogue and that person know you're coming from a good place. You have good intentions. You only want the best for them. And I'm going to point out this thing. You
know? It also takes willingness, courage, specificity. They were willing to do it. Just saw another situation today where people weren't willing to do it. And they waited until they were kind of in a group setting to stir things up rather than just having the courage to give the feedback to the individual or the group of individuals earlier in the process.
Can be very painful. Feedback has to be given at the right time. I think that's the lesson, right? So you want to give the feedback at precisely the right time. That's not easy to come up with the right time, but you know if it's in the wrong time. You can just feel it. So either things have advanced too far and now your feedback of saying, oh, we want to undo everything you just did when you didn't give the feedback and it's been a year or 2 years and now you want to undo and start over? Thank you very much. Bad timing. So how do you get feedback in at the right time? And you have to know this as a manager, as a peer, anybody, you have to know when is the right time. And that usually is an effort for people. Now, I'm one that gives feedback immediately.
All the time.
If I think it, I say it. I don't hold it back. Nobody will ever say, you waited to tell me till my annual performance
Never.
Review. I don't care about the annual performance review because you know what I think at all times. Nobody's ever surprised, I don't think.
Definitely not. And I think the reason I like getting it immediately is the context is fresh for both of you. There could be something going on. I remember you came in once. We were doing a conference call, and I had just reacted kind of just snappish and just a little out of character to a comment that didn't need it, right? And you had said something to me. And then I explained the horrible day I had been having so far. And you were like, okay, that makes sense because that didn't sound like you. But if you would have asked me that 7 months later,
you wouldn't even know what I was talking.
I would have no idea.
That's so true. It is important, and it's important for the person giving the feedback because all of a sudden you learn something like you just shared where you're like, oh, I have context, or maybe I got it wrong, or I saw it wrong, I heard it wrong. That's not – I missed part of another conversation that was going on, and once I learned about that, then it doesn't mean what I thought. All of those things. That's good communication, right? It's just good communication. I want to just talk about resistance because we've all had people who are – putting up DEFCON 4, you know, oh, I will not listen to your feedback. Now, this is the one that's tricky. If they say they won't hear it, of course, that's easy, but they never do. What they say is, I'm very open to feedback. I would love to have some criticism and ways that I can improve. And then you lean in and give them in a positive way that, and they resist it. And you just feel it. I'm sure you're thinking of people and situations where that has occurred, or even if we've resisted feedback ourselves. How do you handle resistance to feedback?
It makes me think of raising children, actually, where I think knowing the person, the better you know the person, the easier I think these situations are to navigate. If you have a child that no matter what you do, no matter if you ground them, take away their phone, their car, everything in the world, and it doesn't matter, they don't care, the behavior doesn't change. And then you have another child where you basically give them a stern look and they burst into tears. Those are two completely different situations. And so I think, you know, knowing your team, knowing how people react to feedback, and if you have a person that just either doesn't like it or doesn't want to follow it, if you care about the relationship, if you care about that person, if, you know, you want them on the bus, on the team, then that's going to take just more time. It's maybe have the conversation in a different setting, maybe go out to lunch, just something different to just say, I'm trying to help you and it doesn't seem to be working. Can we talk about it?
Yeah, I think when I first start working with someone, whether they're maybe new to the organization or new in my team, I'll often ask, how do you like to get feedback? And when you've had feedback in the past and you've really felt like it worked well for you, how was it delivered? What kind of feedback was it? It gives you a little bit of a window. It's kind of what you're saying. Position it in a way that's a fit for their temperament, their personality, right, their way of getting feedback. I think that can help. Sometimes there's still resistance. And I honestly think for many, many people, it's a natural resistance. When someone approaches you, if they approach you this way and say, I'd like to give you some feedback. Generally, we don't lean in and say, wow, I'm so excited. Let's go. Some people might. Skip probably does. But most people kind of lean back, uh-oh. You know, even if that's not on their face, there's an uh-oh in their mind. So I think if you can just address that and be open about it, honest about it, if there is resistance, sometimes you just have to say, it seems like this isn't going well. What can I do differently? Is there something going on? How do you think this is going? Just engage them.
I think like a lot of things in life too, unfortunately, practice makes it better. It makes it easier. You know how you're going to react. You know, like,
yeah,
versus the new employee who has never had a bad grade or been told a bad, yeah, thing in their entire life and fall to pieces when you say their PowerPoint had,
right,
a misspelling. And
initial resistance isn't always a bad thing. Sometimes we resist initially and then we reflect on it. We replay it and we begin to integrate it.
That's,
and realize,
me.
Yeah,
yeah.
And me too. Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty natural.
Tammy never gets negative feedback though. But anyway, different podcast.
This, what a podcast where we just get together and give her negative, yeah, feedback.
Therapeutic.
We could just call it What's Wrong with Tammy. Invite my family.
Okay, maybe that's what we'll do. Yeah, it's interesting because personality types play so much into how to give, mm-hmm, feedback. So when you say Skip probably likes feedback, I do, because I'm a challenger and I like when people challenge me. So if you challenge me with something that's feedback, good, bad, or indifferent, I love that because we're now having a spirited debate and I think that's awesome. Where that's unusual, right? So I have to recognize that. And if I'm challenging you, it means I like you. If I'm not, then there's a problem probably. Some other people are very sensitive to feedback. You know, my daughter is an artist and she's so sensitive and sweet and kind. And so feedback for her would be jarring in the normal Skip Pritchard style. So dad style is very different because the feedback loop with an artist is going to be different. So your personality type really plays into that. So I think it's a good point you make on just knowing that individual and you're bringing up being a parent, it does ring true for me as well. How do you handle feedback that's vague and nonspecific and kind of out there? We've gotten feedback sometimes and you're like, what in the world is this? We would like for you to be more relevant or something. And you're like, what does that mean? What do you do if you personally get feedback that is vague and nonspecific from any source? What do you do?
I mean, when it's anonymous, it's tough. Those are very difficult because, you know, and a lot of times companies do anonymous surveys and things like that. And then you get something that says, you know, I wish you'd communicate better. Well, okay, I'm trying. I don't know how to work with that. But when you know, you know who's saying it or they're saying it to you in the moment, I mean, you just have to ask more. Like, tell them, especially, I think trying to make it actionable can help that person understand why you're seeing it mm-hmm. as vague. Mm-hmm. They may not see it as vague. They may have something in their head that is perfectly crystallized. And you say, well, okay, should we meet weekly, daily, every other day? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Give me an example. Give me a for instance.
I'm going to try to accomplish this, and mm-hmm. I'm not quite clear I'm hitting the mark with what
mm-hmm.
you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. How do you ensure that feedback contributes to a positive work environment and doesn't lead to demotivation or fear?
One of the things I mentioned in my example is the positive feedback. We do tend to focus on feedback as being not positive, but I think it contributes to a not fearful environment, an environment of trust, when feedback is given on both sides of the equation. Feedback can be very positive. It can be in the form of reward and recognition. It can be in the form of just discussing what's gone so well. It can be in the form of celebrating a particular end to a milestone or something like that. So I think feedback should be both positive and negative. And maybe negative is not the right word. Maybe it's constructive, as you said at the outset. But when you only give feedback that is constructive, then it kind of gets a bad brand. If you give feedback all along the way and there's positive, there's celebratory, there's constructive, then it's just kind of part of the fabric of how you do things.
I think there's an appropriate level too, and this is more of an art than a science, but if you wanted to, you could find something wrong in everything everybody does ever. So don't do that. Don't pick out every single presentation somebody gives. Give them 10 points of how it could have been better. Mm-hmm. That becomes a drag.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't lead to fear necessarily, it's just, oh, here it comes. versus appropriate, right? I know you. I know when you're in your good spot and you either excelled in such a great way beyond the norm or, ooh, what happened there? That's not normal in a bad way. That type of feedback is so valuable and it's meaningful and actionable and not just nitpicking.
So good to be balanced. I think, you know, one of the things that I've learned, and I'm not so good at it, is I sometimes just rely on the relationship and just, well, you know this. You know how I feel, which means for me, and this is common in my personality type, there's an inner circle. And if you're in that inner circle, you're in. Like there's, I will defend that inner circle and those people with everything that I have. So I'm just assuming, well, you know this. So I hope when I'm telling you this, you know this. And that's not because you have to realize, well, that's not every personality type. They may not understand that. They don't see that. It may take them 10 years to realize that. So I have to make sure that I'm also telling the other side, you know, not just fix this, I don't like this, whatever, but also look at how fantastic this is. Look at what this is. I see those things, but I don't always communicate. And I would just say there's a lesson in there for all of us listening that we all tend to think about the negative. That's our brain. We will wire toward things that need to be fixed, things that are wrong, whatever that jumps out at you, mm-hmm. misspelling, whatever. And your idea is to fix it. But when you lean into that, it kind of creates some tension. And so you have to just be aware of that environment, kind of step up a little bit and say, okay, let me take a breath, right? So that's important.
And every piece of feedback isn't personal. That's the other thing I try to caution people around if they're hurt, upset, disappointed by a piece of feedback. It's probably not personal. It's probably related to an approach, a decision, maybe behavior, but you don't have to take it as a personal affront.
Yeah, I think one thing that comes to mind when you say that, and because I find myself in this position at work a lot, is I will say, there's nothing necessarily wrong with what you're presenting. Let me tell you what's about to happen to you because it's happened to me and it was a bad experience. And I'm going to save you from that experience by just resequencing it like this, put this first,
perfect.
Say less of that. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing. It's just not going to work with this audience.
Right.
And let me get in
let
front
me
of that
help
for you
get you. To your outcome.
Yeah.
And then they see you as somebody right. who's right. really helping
yeah.
and trusted.
Yes.
So last question, I just want to talk about technology for a second. And in what ways has technology impacted the feedback process or the feedback in your team or organization or just feedback in general? Because we're in a world where you get instant messages and direct messages on this platform and that platform and emails and phone calls and in-person and videos and Zooms. How has technology impacted feedback in your environment?
Well, hopefully I don't sound ancient when I say this, but I don't know that it's helped it. On the one hand, you can get instant feedback. So things like likes, things like views in social media, whether it's corporate or personal or, you know, group. On the other side, it's too easy to fire off a text, to send an email, to put something in a Teams chat, and the context around it is lacking. And we're so busy that we don't maybe go back and check and make sure, did you know what I meant by that? Or do you have any questions about that? It's important to try and do that when you can. I don't know that it's helped. It depends on the kind of feedback. If it's transactional, technical, tactical, I think you can use those mechanisms more successfully. If it's more behavioral, you know, the higher the importance, the higher the stakes, the more important it is to do it personally.
Love those examples. On the positive side, I know you mentioned 360 earlier, mm-hmm. and that uses technology to get really full, complete feedback
right.
instead of but that emotional fire off the message, as soon as you said that, I was like thinking of 50 examples where, you know, I want to say to the person, you probably shouldn't have sent that, at least not to me.
Right.
Probably not to me.
Right.
Right. So I think that's...
Yeah, you have mentioned to me, though, you know, Drew, you just told her to go find another job. And I'm like, great. I'm glad that came through. You know, one thing about social media I think is interesting. A lot of what we just talked about in this podcast is feedback is better all around when you know the person, right? And all the personality type, strengths, weaknesses, all that stuff. One of the things I find interesting about things like Twitter and LinkedIn, a little bit less with Facebook, is you're all of a sudden inundated with the opinions and thoughts of complete strangers. And you, if you're not careful, boy, you can let that wind you up.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know that person at all.
You get pulled in, don't you?
And you're thinking, you know, that's nonsense. We never used to be in that situation before. Never.
Yeah.
I mean, you might have people you disagreed with, but you knew them.
Yeah. I think using the technical platforms too, you mentioned 360, that is a benefit because there's time savings, there's repository, there's all kinds of things that come with that. The best processes, though, that I've been a part of involve some kind of coach or some kind of person who has training in that area who then sits down and helps you process that
yep.
feedback. You're not just looking at a kind of artificial cold report and left to yourself to try and figure out, I wonder who said that.
Right. Yeah. So the technology enables, but it enables people. And AI
Perfect.
Hasn't gotten to the point where it could do all of that and give you the feedback in the same way that somebody who's an OD expert and says, let me understand you first so that I can give you the feedback in the proper way. But it's interesting because feedback is so quick. I have had an employee who every time I gave a presentation to the company would write a long feedback on how I did and how it impacted her and whatever. And sometimes it was like, well, that's nice and thanks for taking the time. And other times it was like, why are you doing this? And I don't quite understand who, you know, what is the point here? You're not my coach. Like, what is this? So I just take it with positive intention. But it's some of those things, Drew, you often say there's a pause that should occur.
There is a pause. Just before you fire off the email to the CEO, just take a little time out.
Put it in your drafts.
Just think about it.
Send it to me first. Just
send it anywhere. Send it to yourself.
Yeah.
So the technology, because it's so quick, that's the danger. So I can think of a lot of positive things about feedback. I gave a presentation yesterday, and when I got back to the table, I had all of these text messages. This was great. I liked this, and very specific. So it was instant feedback from people that were in the room at the time. Okay, that's great. And mm-hmm. it was simple stuff. It didn't need deep conversations. This wasn't feedback of
yeah.
life-changing proportions, right? So that was great because otherwise I never would have known their opinion. But there are other times where that quick ability to fire off things, I think that you can have some real career damaging, dangerous moments mm-hmm. by acting rashly, emotionally, and not thinking, let me process this. Let me put this through. And we all have different timelines of that process. Some need 24 hours. Some need 2 minutes. Everybody has a different thing. But go through that and know yourself before you give that feedback. So my feedback to all of you listening to Aim Higher is we like to hear your feedback. So we appreciate it if you send us in questions, reviews, comments. We only want positive feedback.
I was just about to say that. We especially like the positive feedback.
I'll take a little constructive.
And we'd like to hear your questions and topics that you would like for us to cover. But we deeply appreciate you, and we thank you for listening. And we hope that you both accept some great feedback and that you learn to give terrific feedback to your colleagues, friends, teammates, family members, and even your bosses, because it's important to have good relationships. Feedback is a cornerstone of good relationships. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Aim Higher with Skip Pritchard. Check out skippritchard.com for more episodes, interviews, book reviews, and leadership insights. Until next time, remember, don't settle for the mediocre. Always aim higher.